Turn with me again this morning to Acts chapter 27. Beginning in verse 39, let's hear the word of God. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards, some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing again this morning, Lord, as we open your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit will illuminate the scriptures to us, that our hearts and our minds be open to receive them. And I thank you for it. Amen. We've seen Paul and the crew enduring some incredibly difficult times on this ship. He was an innocent man, but he was still a prisoner of Rome, and he was on his way to a hearing before Caesar. He's on this ship against his counsel, against his advice to the ship's captain and the owners. But he's on that ship anyway, and he's now in the middle of a long and very raging storm. And God has spoken to Paul while all this stuff is going on. And he says to him that, listen, Paul, this boat is going to wreck, but I guarantee you no lives are going to be lost. Paul then goes ahead and he conveys the message to the other fellows on board. But obviously some of those guys had their doubts. They'd been around. They'd seen things like this before. They weren't quite ready to accept the word of God through Paul. But as the days progressed, Paul finally convinces the men to take a meal. It's after 2 weeks at sea and they're battling this thing. He convinces them to take a meal, and they agree to do that. And when they're finished, whatever food was left over went overboard. They're still continuing to try and lighten the ship to make it more stable. The day was beginning to break. And with every passing day through this whole time of trial, they're hoping that with the breaking of the day, that the tumult will be over, that hopefully this whole terrible thing that they've been enduring will finally end. Well, of course, it doesn't always work that way. Now, we hope that with the coming of a new day, that old problems will just disappear. That's our desire. That's our longing. We've battled through the night, and with the sun rising, that gives us some idea that there should be, some deliverance from this thing. But the truth of the matter is that in a sin-tainted world in which we live, sometimes the trials don't get better. They get worse. As the sun was rising on this particular day, there were two thoughts that were occupying the minds of these men. They looked about them and they said, we don't know where we are. But secondly, they said, we do see a place of refuge. You know, there is a certain amount of anxiety that comes with being in a place that you've never been before. Especially if you didn't plan to be there. You know, the miracle of modern technology has produced over the last few years a thing called a GPS. It's a beautiful thing. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it's helpful. When I was at North Coast, I used to train drivers, and I brought a driver in who lived by his GPS. Now, I was a map man. You know, I'll open up a map and I can find my way around pretty good. But, you know, GPS is a beautiful thing that's come along. But this guy was devoted to it. And I took him out, as was our protocol. I would take him out for 3 weeks, and after that he was on his own. And during the time that I would train him, I would say, Joe, you need to pay attention to what I'm telling you, and less attention to that GPS. Oh, no, I got the addresses for all the places. I just punch it in. It's good to go. I said, listen, I that's a good thing, but listen to what I have to say. Listen to what I'm telling you to do. Okay. So we got through the 3 weeks of training, and his first week solo, don't you know, he goes back to trusting in his GPS. And he got down to, we had a stop in Mount Vernon, Ohio, and he got down to Mount Vernon, and he plugged in the next stop, which where was it? From Mount Vernon, we go to Coshocton, which is east on 36. He plugged it in, and don't you know that GPS took him 30 miles west. Took him the other direction to where instead of coming out to 77, he went over to 71. And, you know, it just, it's a bad thing, you know, when your trust is that way. These guys are lost. These guys on the ship, they're looking around. They don't have the luxury of the GPS. They have charts and things, and they didn't recognize the coastline. They didn't know where they were. They're in the middle of a storm, and they don't know where they are. And things are just their minds are going. How are we going to deal with this sort of thing? If you examine your own life, how are you doing compared to the plans that you made? Now, if you've never made any plans for your life, no problem. You're cruising along swimmingly, as they might say. If you don't have any targets, you're going to hit them every time. These guys had a plan. They had a plan to make their way to Italy. And it just wasn't working out for them. Unlike these sailors who for the most part, refused the word of God delivered to them through Paul, do you put your confidence in God's word? I mean, do we really believe that God has ordered our steps? Do we really believe that, or do we just say that from time to time? Because, well, sure, it's in the scripture, but it's disheartening sometimes because a lot of scripture, people in their own minds reduce to nothing more than just child's poetry. Or happy little sayings. Like the Lord works in mysterious ways, his wonders perform. That's not scripture, but people say it, and some people believe that it is. Do we believe when we're in the middle of it that God has ordered our steps there? Or do we limit our belief that God has ordered our steps only to those good times? When things are going well, when the bills are paid on time, when the refrigerator is full, when the gas tank is full, when everything's working just like it should be, when we're getting along with everybody, are those the only times that God has ordered our steps? Or has God taken us to places where we don't know where we are? Do we believe it? I say, Lord, increase our faith. These guys don't know where they are, but they still see a place of refuge. There's a place where if they can just put all their effort into it, they can find a way to get that ship off of the open sea. They got into that bay, they just might be okay. They saw a sandy beach, and they figured if we can shove this ship into there, at least it'll be easier than to wreck it up against the rocks. At least we got a shot if we can hit it into the beach. And then they made a commitment. They made a commitment to just go all out and get it. They let go the anchors and left them in the sea. That's pretty committed. If you're out there on a ship, remember, they let down 4 anchors. Don't know if they had any more, but the storm was so turbulent. That they let down 4 anchors to try and keep that ship as stationary as possible. Keep it from twisting and turning. And they finally, at this moment, they decided, you know what? We got to go for broke. We got to cut loose those anchors. We're not taking the time. We're not going to try to hoist them up. And just as earlier they cut loose the lifeboats, now they're cutting loose the anchors. And in addition to doing that, they hoisted the mainsail. Now this ship obviously had more than one sail. But the mainsail would have been the biggest one, the one that would catch the most wind and would make the ship sail the fastest. It's like, from an outsider's point of view, it's like they were nuts. They let loose of their security. They permanently let loose of that security. They weren't going to get those anchors back. And then they said, oh, we're putting up that mast and we're just going to go at it, man. Full steam ahead. We're going for it. We're going to hit that beach. That's what we're aiming for anyway. If we make it, fine. If we don't make it, well, we're no worse off than if we just crack up out here. Said they loosed the rudders that had been secured. They tied the rudders up to keep them from banging in the storm. With the possibility of breaking loose. So rather than leave them in the water, they weren't steering the ship anywhere. They just secured them. They cut them loose. They got the mast up, and away they go. They're heading for shore. Where they're at is in a place that's now called St. Paul's Bay. It's between the island, it's between Malta and an island called Salmoneta. And apparently, the way this is set up, the way the land, the geography is set up, the storms and the currents of the water create sandbars, which are not readily visible. You know, I mean, you have to look for them. They didn't see any kind of a sandbar. All they saw was a nice sandy beach to go shooting for. And they're trucking on in there, and don't you know, that ship just stops. It's racing to beat the band. It's going for all it's worth. It's saying, I want to get there, and all of a sudden, bam, it stops. Did you ever say, man, I didn't see that coming? You ever had occasion in your life to say that? I mean, man, I didn't see that coming. Here I was, I had everything all scoped out. It was all planned. I knew exactly what I was going to do. I was going to do this, this, and this, and then this was going to be the result. And something interfered with that on the way in. I didn't see that coming. These were not novice people on this ship. These were skilled seamen, and they didn't see that sandbar. They didn't see that coming. And that ship comes blasting on in there, and it sticks. You ever get stuck in the mud? Or in the wintertime, get stuck in a snowbank? And it's like, oh, man. Well, you know what? I can just ease it right back out, right? Go nice and slow, and we can just ease the thing right back out. But instead, you sit and you get in deeper and deeper and deeper, and it's not looking good. You thought you could back it out. I mean, you didn't get it in. You didn't go in that hard, but man, you just can't get it back out. These guys are stuck in this sandbar. And it's not like they can reverse the wind, you know. They're stuck. There's nothing they can do. They can't get back out. They're secured into that thing. That really wasn't the plan. That's not what they were aiming to do. They were aiming for the shore. Well, did God mention to Paul that they were going to get stuck in a sandbar? No. And Paul could have been in a situation where he said, you know, did I misunderstand God? Did I not get his words right? No. God said the ship would be lost, but no lives. That ship was firmly stuck. It was not going to get out of the sand. And while the front end is stuck in that sand, the back end, the stern of the ship, is beginning to break up. The sea is just tearing it up. It's violent. And it's just beating that thing apart. And while the back is coming apart, everybody on a ship is going to the front. They're saying, you know, no sense staying back there. It's getting a little feeble. They're moving to the front of the boat. And the soldiers begin to ponder the situation, because there are many prisoners on this ship. And they're saying to themselves, what if these guys try to escape? What if they swim for freedom? Now, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm not a great swimmer. I can dog paddle. But I'm looking at the waves and stuff out there, and I'm saying, you know, that's not my bailiwick. I don't know if I'm going to jump in there and go for it. Well, push comes to shove. But the soldiers are looking the situation over and say, what if they do? What if they decide they're going to jump in, take, you know, they know if they get to Rome that things are bleak for them. Maybe they'll take this opportunity. And the soldier understands this, that if a prisoner that he's in charge of escapes, then that prisoner's sentence goes to him. He has that applied to himself. And so they determined it would be best to just kill the prisoners instead of taking the chance of them escaping. And Paul was included in that list. The apostle was involved in there. You gotta say, at the very least, what a show of ingratitude. Paul has blessed the people the whole time. Paul was not just your average run-of-the-mill prisoner. Paul was an apostle. Paul was a minister of God. And Paul, even in those difficult times, continued to minister to the people about him, people who probably any other time would not give him the time of day. But Paul was the one who, while the storm is raging, he's going to them, giving them the word of God, trying to let them understand that everything is going to be okay as far as your life goes. Paul is the one who convinced them to take a meal. Look, guys, we've been going at it for 14 days now. The storm is not letting up. You need to take something for your strength. You need to eat. And Paul's encouraging them. He's coming alongside them and stirring them up to do good things. And now they're sitting there in this dubious situation, and they're saying, you know what, we need to just kill these guys. Paul's a prisoner. He needs to go. Well, as we saw before, the centurion, whose name was Julius, God just put a special liking in him for Paul. He had a special regard for him. And he had given Paul more liberty than anybody would give a prisoner. He allowed Paul to go and meet with friends. And it was like, Paul was okay. For a guy who was on his own recognizance, he was pretty sure Paul was coming back. He was not going to stand him up. So Julius liked him. And here is an opportunity for Julius to stand up for Paul, and he does. He says, look, guys, we're not doing that. The scripture says he wanted to save Paul. And he kept the other guards from their purpose. He kept them from pursuing the evil against him. God will use whoever he wants to use at any given moment for his purpose. We don't commonly look at the Romans as being nice guys. They were brutal warriors, had little regard for a person's feelings and that sort of thing. They were all about their business. But here's a guy, he was a centurion. He was obviously somebody special. And he steps in to save Paul's life, and the other prisoners benefit once again from Paul just being there. Would this centurion, would Julius have been so quick to stop the other guys had Paul not been a part of the group? Probably not. Probably not. He probably would have said, yeah, go ahead, have at it, and we'll be done with it. And he gives the command, he says to them, if you can swim, do it. If you're skilled at that, you just jump in that water and head for the shore. You go ahead and do it. And you guys, by getting to land first, there's a good possibility that you can help some of us stragglers. Help us get into the land. And so the guys who could swim jumped in and took off. Those who could not swim or could not swim as well, they followed them by grabbing boards, pieces of the boat, anything that would float, that they would toss in the water, just latch onto that. And try to paddle into the shore. Some of these guys were trying to take advantage of the wind and let the wind blow them in. I've never heard of that, but I guess people can do that. I mean, I don't know that they put little sails up on their head or something, try to motivate them along. But, they were motivated by the wind, by whatever purpose, to get into shore. And they all got in safely. Not one life was lost. God's word is true. God's word to Paul in this regard was true. God's word to you and I in this entirety of these 66 books is true. The Christian life is often compared to a ship at sea. And Christ, as Christians, Christ is the captain of our ship. We are not the captains of our own ship, the masters of our own destiny or whatever. The truth is, from time to time, we may be a mutinous crew. Sometimes we just get the notion that maybe you don't know what we know, God. Maybe sometimes we get the idea that we know better. God, your word says to us this thing, but you know what? That's not necessarily right for me. Yet if you're a Christian, if you're indeed a child of God, that situation is not going to last long. Because of his love for his people. Because of his abundant mercy for his people. And because of his overwhelming grace. We are assured that we will safely reach shore. As I've said before, the scriptures do not give us guarantees of this mortal flesh. But they do guarantee our lives. That God will preserve his people. You will not be lost. It can't happen. As a child of God, you cannot be taken from his hand. And if you are in Christ, do not doubt it. Do not doubt it. It's Christ who justifies. It is Christ who preserves us. And it is Christ who will present us safe before the Father. Our faith is in him. Our faith is not in ourselves, in our wiles, in our scheming, in our great mentality. Our faith is not in our physical ability. Our faith is not in our genius. Our faith is in Christ alone. Christ does these things for his people. Run to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we once again are privileged to